Albert Einstein once said that if he had to solve a problem in 1 hour and his life depended on it, he said he would spend 55 minutes making sure that he had asked the right question. Because he said, if I knew that I asked the right question, I am confident that I could solve the problem in 5 minutes. Now, we may not be as confident about solving problems as Albert Einstein, but the same principle applies to us. We've got to ask the right questions if we're gonna get the right answers. In this series, we've been asking the question, how is it that God wants us to relate to him? What is it that God wants from me? And over the last 4 weeks, we've looked at different ways that we can think about relating to God that either on one sense is incorrect or even maybe just slightly incomplete, but it is not how God wants us to relate to him. And we've been talking about how primarily what God wants from us is us to be with him. He wants us to experience with. In Sky Gittani's book called With, that has kind of formed the outline for this series, what he says is that the question that religion asks, and I'm not talking about biblical Christianity, I'm talking about religion. He said the question that religion tries to answer is, how do I control the world that I live in? How do I try to make myself safe in this world that seems like it's out of control at times? And so he gives us a little picture that I want us to begin to think about. How do we engage the world? He said, because we live in a world where there is danger. There is actual danger in this world. We read from the very beginning of the scriptures that God wants us to be with him, but the world was broken very quickly. And man and woman decided to go their own way, and brokenness and evil entered into the world. And now we live in a place that is dangerous. And at times, that danger in us, in this world, can create fear. Because we never know when that evil and that brokenness is gonna be acted upon us. And that can create anxiety and uncertainty in our lives, that can create fear. And what Sky Gittani is saying is that the response to our fear, the religious response, is that we wanna figure out, how do we control the world? How do I make this world safe for me? And what we've talked about over this last 4 weeks is we've talked about different ways that we can even relate to God that are an attempt in some ways for us to control the world and maybe even to try to control God. Like, God, if I do these things, then God, you need to do this for me. And when we talked about that, we talked about life from God, life for God, life under God, and life over God. Those were the first 4 weeks of this series. But here's what I want us to understand. All of these attempts to try to relate to God do not create control. None of these deliver us from this cycle of danger, fear, and control. None of those deliver on what's promised. So now what we want to do is we want to step back and begin to ask this question. How do we see the world? How is it that we actually see the world? Because what Jesus would want us to know is that we need to see the world the way that he sees the world. And doing certain rituals and certain rules and trying to obey things to try to make God like us or try to make God create control around us and try to make our world a certain way will not accomplish this freedom from our fear. God wants us to know that we need to see the world the way he sees it. And now when I say that it's not about rituals and rules, I'm not saying that behavior doesn't matter. Behavior does matter. But what Jesus would want us to understand is that it's our belief, how we see the world, that will actually determine our behavior. How we see the world is gonna determine how we actually try to live in this world. And that's why, as we talk about around here, being a follower of Jesus or being an all-in follower of Jesus, that means that we want to see the world the way that Jesus sees the world. That means that we start to think the way that Jesus thinks as he engages the world. We start to feel the things that Jesus felt when he feels when he engages the world. We want to want the things for this world that Jesus wants for this world. And we start to do the things that Jesus would do if he was living his life through us. What is it that Jesus would do? And here's what Jesus wants us to understand from this diagram, this idea of control. It's an illusion. You can't control the world around you. You've never been able to, and you never will. Even if we have some kind of a perceived control, it doesn't have the ability to make us safe and eliminate our fear. Here's how Jesus explained this reality of our lack of control when he was talking about worry and fear. Here's what he said in Luke chapter 12, verse 25 and 26. He said, "Who of you by worrying, by being fearful and anxious, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life?" What he's saying is, you can't. You don't have control. Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Jesus is saying we don't have control. Only he has control. And the only way that we're able to eliminate our fear is that we live our life with him. Only when we come to that place where we realize that we can't control our life and that we actually, what we need to do is to think about our life differently. And what we're going to talk about today is this life of faith. And our fear moves to not trying to control the world around us, but actually surrendering control of our life. We surrender control because we don't have it. Whether we think we do or not, it's just an illusion. We surrender control. And when we talk about surrender around here, that's what we mean when we're talking about being an all-in follower of Jesus, that every part of our life is surrendered to him. He owns it all. He controls it all. My time, every minute of my time belongs to him. Jesus, how do you want me to invest that with you and for you? Our talents, all our gifts and abilities. How, Jesus, do you want me to invest that for you? Our treasure, everything that God has given us. Jesus, how do you want me to surrender that and invest that? Our plans, our future. Jesus, all of it belongs to you. The very fact that we even get to take a next breath doesn't belong to us. It belongs to him. He's in control of that. And so we surrender our life to him. We go all in with him. And it's in that place of surrender that we realize that there's safety. And when I say safety, friends, I'm not saying that everything good happens in your life. There are challenging things. There are difficult things. There are suffering and pain in this life. But the safety that we can experience comes when we realize we're not alone. Jesus sees it all, and he is absolutely with us. And when we start to realize that Jesus is with us, it grows our faith, meaning our trust in him. And when we learn to trust him more, we start a new cycle where we start to surrender more. It's in this cycle of faith that we actually grow. We become more like him as we trust him more. See, faith is not trying to control the world around us. It's actually that's our hands gripped, trying to hold on to this life and trying to control it. But faith is actually letting go and surrendering all of our life to him. Here's how Jesus described what that faith is. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is confidence. Confidence that we know that we know that we know, and what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Life with faith is about letting go and surrendering to him, going all in with him in all things. One of the most, I don't know how to say this other than saying the most commanded command in the Bible, if that kind of doesn't always sound like it rolls off the tongue, but the most commanded command in the Bible is simply, do not be afraid. Think about all these places across the scripture where we see Jesus and others and God and prophets saying, do not be afraid. Think about Psalm 23. It says, even though I walk through the deepest valley of darkness, what does it say? I will fear no evil. Even though this life is dangerous, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That command, don't be afraid, is so often coupled with that promise. I am with you. That is how we can feel safe and grow our faith, is because we realize that Jesus is with us. Now, what I want to do to try to unpack this idea in this diagram is to look at a picture in Scripture, a story that will probably be familiar to many of you. It's that picture of Peter walking on the water with Jesus. And I want us to look at that story through the lens of this picture to help us understand these principles and how we can start to integrate those into our life. We got a chunk of scripture from Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read the entire story, and then we're going to go make some observations and ask some questions. Matthew 14, starting in verse 22. It says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. He wants them to understand, I am with you. And then Peter, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let's just make some simple observations. Jesus sends the disciples out because he wants a little alone time with the Father. He sends them out into the boat. And this is not their first rodeo in a boat. Several of these disciples are fishermen. Being in a boat is the most normal thing in the world. But that changes when a storm comes up and the wind starts to blow. And Matthew's account talks about that the wind buffeted the boat, even tormented the boat. They were in a storm, and it started to create fear in them. But then it gets even a little more scary. They start to see anything, a shadow moving across the water, and they realize that this is a human figure. Now, this was not their first rodeo, seeing a figure walking on the water. And they cried out in fear. They assumed it was a ghost. The grim reaper is coming to get us. They were afraid. And they cried out in their fear. But Jesus responds to them, verse 27. Immediately he said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. He's saying, this is how you can know that there's safety. Not because the circumstances around you are easy. Not that there's not a storm raging around you. But you can feel safe and not be afraid because I am with you. One of the first questions I think we've got to ask is, what did Jesus want them to see? David Garland, in his commentary on the book of Mark, makes an interesting observation in Mark's account of this story, Mark uses a phrase that was very, very intentional. In verse 6, Mark 6:48, he says, "And Jesus was about to pass them by." And I wonder, all the time when I've read that, I always just thought, like, was Jesus just gonna walk right on by them and just kind of peace out, guys? I hope you get to the other side. What was he trying to say? What was Mark trying to help us understand? And if we understand the language that Mark uses right there, we can understand that this is a unique phrase that's used about an appearance of the power of God. When we think about way back in the Old Testament, remember that story about Moses being in the cleft of the rock, and it just said that the power of God was gonna pass him by, God's powerful presence. We think about that story of Elijah up on the mountain, and it says that the power of God was about ready to pass, the presence of God was about ready to pass them by. That's the language that Mark is using here, this idea of passing them by. But every one of those times in the Old Testament, when the power of God, when his presence passes by, it creates fear and uncertainty. People get really, really uncomfortable. Here's what we've got to see in this, friends. God's presence doesn't mean that we are always comfortable. And we can be safe even when we're in a place that feels incredibly uncomfortable to us. And this idea that fear can be brought up into our life, fear can take us as a fork in the road. What are we gonna do? In the midst of our fear, are we gonna try to control the world around us, or are we gonna trust? Are we gonna surrender to Jesus? Are we gonna surrender to his presence and his power in our life? And here's what's interesting about this story to me, is that they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They got into the boat and they were heading to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. But even in the midst of obedience, storms came up in their life. It wasn't like they had done something wrong. Just because we obey does not mean that we're gonna be spared adversity in our life. And it's in those moments, it's in those times that we actually get to see the character of Jesus. We get to see the competence of Jesus, his ability to be able to enter in with us into the storms of our life and say, take courage. Don't be afraid. It is I. And now up until that point of the story, Jesus is talking to everybody in the boat. But then I love what happens with Peter. He doesn't take this just kind of public thing that happens with Jesus and the boys. He makes it personal. Here's what he says. He says, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And when we read this story, friends, this isn't a story about just simply doing something crazy, trying to take risk. This is a story about hearing the voice of Jesus and responding in obedience, discerning his call on our life. And if you've been around here at all, you know that we say this over and over again. There are two questions that define what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, that we are constantly asking one question that is, Jesus, what is it that you are saying to me? And the other question is, Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? And those are the questions that Peter is asking of Jesus. If it's your voice, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And Jesus says, come. Come to me on the water. Now, I think about this idea of wanting to have control of the world around us. And I just think, I raise my hand and I just say, that's me. Like, I want to have control. I want to try to make things as safe as possible for my life. In fact, I imagine that if I might have been in that boat talking to Peter, I might say, hey, Peter, come here for a second. Can I try to explain a couple things to you? Peter, do you understand that your mass is greater than the mass of the water that's gonna be displaced by you? And do you understand what that means, that you're going to sink? And the buoyant forces on the Sea of Galilee are not adequate to lift you up. And Peter, you may not understand this, but when you go under that water, it is a very low oxygen environment. Peter, grab the boat. That's the thought form of wanting to take control. But Peter says, no way. I'm safe because I'm with Jesus. Jesus will call you to get out of a boat as well. Jesus will call you in these holy moments to step out and trust him, to put your faith in him, to surrender to him. He will do it. The question is, will you get out of your boat? Will you get out of your boat? I think a great question then is, what is your boat? Your boat, friends, represents safety and security, those things in your life that you try to grab a hold of to maintain control of your own life and try to eliminate fear. You know how you know what your boat is? Fear will tell you. What are those things that most produce fear in you, especially as it relates to the thought of leaving those things behind and stepping out in faith with Jesus? Maybe it's financial security. Oftentimes, we try to control the world around us by, I'm just gonna accumulate enough money so that nothing can happen to me. And we think that that's what's gonna make us safe in this world. But then Jesus starts to invite us to be generous with our resources. And we have this fear, will there be enough for me if I release that and surrender it to him? Some of you, your place of fear is relationships. You are so afraid of being alone that you're in a relationship right now that you know doesn't honor God. And Jesus would be saying, that person doesn't love me, doesn't follow me. You need to let go of that. You need to live your relationship in a way that honors me. But we can be so afraid of being alone that we hold on and we're unwilling to surrender. We can have unforgiveness in our heart, bitterness and resentment toward people. And Jesus would be saying, let it go. But we hold on because we feel like I can't let it go. I can't let them off the hook. But yet we continue to just die inside. Jesus is saying, let go. Don't be fearful. Maybe for some of us, maybe many of us, that thing that we hold on to is hidden, secret sin in our life. Things that are going on in our heart and our life that nobody knows about. But Jesus would be saying, bring it into the light with me and with others where I can bring hope and healing to you. But we just say, no, I've got to hold on to it. I've got to manage the perceptions of people around me. I've got to manage my reputation. This week was so hard for me because this was my boat. There were things that were going on in my heart that I just thought, this is not of God. And I just felt this nudging, this prompting from the Holy Spirit to bring this out into the open with people. But I didn't want to do it. I wanted to manage their perceptions of me. I didn't want to say, this is what's really happening in my heart. But when I was able to step out of the boat and bring that into the light with other people, there was freedom that came from that because Jesus was with me and people were with me and he brought hope and healing to my life. What is your boat? What is that thing that you're fearful to leave behind? Because friends, it's risky to get out of the boat. It feels risky, but let me say this. I believe that risk is a perceived risk. The greatest risk is staying in the boat and missing the opportunity for Jesus to show up in our life. I love how Peter made everything so personal because he experienced something of Jesus in the midst of stepping out of the boat, things that other people didn't get the opportunity to experience. And let me say this, whatever cycle you tend to be in your life, whether it's that cycle of control or that cycle of faith, let me just say this. Every one of those, each of those is habit forming. When we learn to step out of the boat, maybe the first time it is really scary, but we see that we are safe and that we can trust Jesus, and we continue to put more and more of our life in his hands and surrender to him, it becomes easier and easier to do. But this cycle of control is just as easy to get sucked into and to stay there. The longer that we stay there, our unwillingness to get out of the boat and trust Jesus, whatever it is that he's asking us to do, it just gets easier and easier to close off our ears. Pretty soon we don't hear it like we used to, and our heart starts to get a little hard. When was the last time that you stepped out of the boat with Jesus and just really put your trust and your hope in him? What I love about Peter is he's the guy that's always getting out of the boat. But here's another question that I think we've got to ask about Peter getting out of the boat. Did Peter fail? Did Peter fail in this? Because Peter gets out of the boat, but Peter sank. Yes, there's probably an element of failure there, but here's what I want us to hear. He learned and he experienced the reality of being with Jesus in the storms of his life. He felt what it felt like to trust Jesus even when he was afraid. And even for a moment, just a moment, imagine he felt what it felt like under his feet to walk on water. Who else has had that opportunity? Peter learned how you can get distracted by the wind and the waves and take your eyes off of Jesus. Peter learned that. Peter learned that when you are in trouble and you're in a storm, what you do is you cry out, "Lord, save me." Short prayer, powerful prayer, needed prayer. And Peter learned what it felt like to have the hand of Jesus reach down and save him. To pull him up, he learned what it was like to be with Jesus. And that's what I love about Peter. As you look across the landscape of his life, he was always the one that was stepping forward, stepping out. Sometimes it went well, oftentimes it didn't. But Peter was willing to learn, even from his failure. He was willing to trust God. And you need to hear this. When you step out to trust God in your life, when you step out of the boat, you are gonna fail too. You're gonna fail too. But it is an opportunity for you to grow. Failure in our spiritual life, it is indispensable and irreplaceable part of learning. And the principle that is involved, failure does not shape you, but the way that we respond to failure shapes us. Peter, he was never hindered by his failure. He just kept stepping out. And I don't think it's an accident, friends. When we look at the very launch of the church in the beginning of the book of Acts, who was it that was standing up boldly in the face of the people that had just put Jesus to death and powerfully communicating the greatest news ever announced? It was Peter. I just think he learned, when I'm in that place of being fearful, I surrender because I'm safe, because Jesus is with me, and I put my faith in him. One last question that I think we've got to ask and answer if we're gonna be people that are willing to get out of the boat. We've gotta ask the question, what was Jesus' response to Peter's so-called failure? How did Jesus respond to him? We have it here in the text. I'll just read it to you again. It says, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" Here's what we know. What Jesus said, he said, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" We know what he said, but here's what I believe is even more important. How did he say it? You know, when I was growing up, there would be times that I would say things to my mom, my mama, and I would say, well, all I said was, and she says, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. So much of our communication is nonverbal. How did Jesus say this? I can't prove this, but for so many years, I've heard people talk about what Jesus said, and they communicated it as if it was a rebuke or a scolding of Jesus, that somehow he was angry or frustrated or disappointed with Jesus. You of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't think so. I can't prove it, but I'm right. I believe with everything in me. And I'm gonna ask Jesus one day, and I'm gonna ask Peter one day, how did he respond to you? I believe with everything in me that he reached out his hand, and I believe that he had a smile on his face. And he looked at him and he said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You can trust me. And then he pulls him up into the boat. And I think he gives him a fist pound and a chest bump. I think Jesus is proud of Peter because Peter was willing to take a step of faith. Friends, Jesus invites you to take a step of faith, and he is proud of you when you do it. You don't have to fear his rebuke. He is proud of you when you take steps of faith, and he will be cheering you on. Take steps of faith. Get out of your boat. Okay, here's your assignment. When was the last time you got out of the boat? I want you to think about that this week. When was the last time that listening to the voice of Jesus in the face of fear, I actually stepped out and did something that brought me to the end of myself, where I just had to completely surrender to him and believe that I was safe with him and put my faith and my trust holy in him? When was the last time that's happened for you? If it hasn't happened in a while, I want you to just honestly ask the question, has my heart grown hard? Have my ears grown dim? Am I listening for his voice anymore? And secondly, as you start to engage with Jesus, I want you to just gut level honest, ask him, Jesus, what is my boat? What is the thing in this life that I am clinging to try to control the world around me that is not you? Jesus, what is my boat? And I've been praying for you, and I have people that are praying for you, that the Holy Spirit would surface that in your mind, in your mind's eye, that you would know this is what Jesus is asking me to do. That Jesus would be looking at you and say, come. Come to me out of the boat, onto the water. This is where I want you to be with me. I want you to surrender to me. What is your boat? Let's pray. Jesus, we just humbly come before you, and we acknowledge that surrender to you is what makes most sense in the eyes of faith. Jesus, we are safe with you, even in the storms of this life. And there's so many of them, so much pain and suffering. Jesus, what makes us know that we're safe is not that the storms are gone, but that you are with us. You see and you know. Jesus, thank you that you did everything to give us the opportunity to be with you. Thank you that you were willing to come to this earth, to live a sinless life, to die on the cross in our place, to pay the penalty for our sin, so that in you we can say, Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in you, not what I have done for you, but what you have done for me. Jesus, we thank you today for the beauty of the gospel. And we surrender and we resurrender to you again today. You are our only hope. And it's in you that we place our faith. And all God's people said, amen.